InshaAllah, Mukhtasar Darsa Hadith Hoga. It will be a brief lesson of Hadith, but I request to participate. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله for the last few weeks we were discussing and going through the chapter of on the importance of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the importance of knowing the value of wealth and the responsibility of wealth that Allah ta'ala blesses us with wealth It's not just mine, my own, I can spend it however I wish. Rather, this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me about on the day of Qiyamah. As with any other ni'mah, blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has given us, wealth is also a huge blessing. Allah ta'ala blesses us with it, and at the same time, Allah ta'ala tests us with it. So it's a blessing, we can utilize it, we can benefit from it. With it, our daily needs and necessities are met and fulfilled. But on the day of Qiyamah, each and every single penny will be asked about. So this next chapter Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought, he's titled it, Babun Nahi Anil Bukhli wa Shuhi. The chapter in which bukhl, miserliness, stinginess, and shuh, greed, desire for wealth, both of these things are discussed and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prevented us. Our deen has prevented us and stopped us and warned us from stinginess, miserliness and greed. So as always with the custom of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he starts with the ayat of the Qur'an. So the first ayah he brings, this last week's. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى وما يغني عنه ماله إذا تردى وقال تعالى ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم A few ayat from Surah Al-Layl, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought. Allah Ta'ala states, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى As for the person who is stingy, miserly, does not spend from the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, whether it's wealth or whether it's in any other way, shape or form. Bukhul doesn't just necessarily have to apply to a person's wealth as well. Any other way in which a person can give benefit to others, a person withholds it, does not give benefit, does not assist, does not help. This can also be classed as bukhl. Wastaghna, and he separates himself. He makes himself separate. He thinks that he does not need to help others. He makes himself aloof from others, separates himself from others. وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى And he rejects the husna, the good word. Mufassirun rahimahullah mentioned the good word. فَسَنُوَيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى Then surely we will make the difficult thing easy for him. We will make the difficult thing easy for him. So the ulama explain, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى And his wealth will not benefit him when he falls. So this ayah, Mufassirun Rahimahullah, there's different explanations that the Mufassirun Rahimahullah have given for these few ayat. But they mention that a person who is bakhil and stingy and miserly, then he has this quality of istighna. Istighna, and on Friday in Jum'ah I was talking about this, istighna. That Allah has given me money, you know, mind your own business, leave me alone with my money. You don't need to benefit from my money, that's my money. You know, you go and make your own money. So this kind of separatism, that I have, you've got nothing to do with me. I've got money, I've got wealth, I'm rich, and now you mind your own business. So this unfortunately becomes a mentality of many of us, that when Allah Ta'ala blesses us with wealth, because wealth brings this greed, this hirs, this desire, that it shouldn't be spent, we don't want to spend it. We want to count it, we want to see it grow, we want to hoard it. The word hoarding wealth. So the more wealth Allah Ta'ala blesses someone with, then this illness of hoarding starts to creep in. So it's very important that we understand straight away, okay, this hoarding is haram. It's not permissible. We should not be hoarding. Allah has given me money, now I need to have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way Allah has blessed me, if I spend in His path, Allah will give me more. If I think, oh, I've got so much wealth after such a long, I don't know, many, many years of my life of working, of hard work, of striving, of mehnat, and now Allah has given me money, now I don't want to spend it. Because if I spend it, I will lose it. I will lose the efforts of all those, you know, I will lose the result of all of my efforts. So I want to keep it, and I want to grow it, and I want to build it. It's a natural thing. It's a natural thing. The lalaj and love of dunya is a natural thing. And that's why it's a spiritual illness. Love of dunya, hubbud dunya, hubbul jah, the love of fame. These are natural things which are inside of the hearts of people. So we need to, you know, fight against them, and we need to eradicate them. Remember, even when it comes to being generous, there are three levels, the ulama say. They say the first level is sakha. Sakha means that I have the ability to spend without feeling bad. I have the ability to spend without regretting. One is I spend and I think, don't really want to give, but I have to give. So that's not sakha, that's not generosity. Generosity is where I give and I'm happy with spending. And then you have jood, the ulama say the next level is jood. Again, it's Arabic word, which also you can translate loosely as generosity, which is when you can spend to such an extent that you are prepared to part with almost half of your wealth, again, without feeling you're indifferent about it, you don't feel negative about it. You can spend so much, you can give lots of money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is jood. This is a very high level of generosity. That you can give lots and lots and lots. When it's sakha, a person just spends, has the habit of spending, but it's not really affecting him. And one is jood, where it can has the potential to affect your financial state. And then beyond that is ithar. Ithar is where you're spending when you yourself are in need. And you're spending in such a way where you yourself are now going to become, you know, possibly going to become very much financially, affected by your spending. This is the highest level. And this was the level that the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were at. So in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They would give preference to others above themselves, even if they were, you know, at the door of poverty. This is the level that they were at, and this is the level we need to strive to get to. The first thing is reducing this love of dunya. It's very difficult, my dear brothers. You know, that's why in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that يَقُولُ ابْنُ Adam مَالِي مَالِي. Son of Adam is constantly saying, my money, my money, my money. And obviously we have needs. We have dependents, we have family members, we have parents, we have children, we have bills. Now in a financial crisis, cost of living crisis, so many other things, so there are needs. As long as our heart is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qadiyul hajat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fulfiller of needs. My job, my income, my whatever else, financial status, these things are not going to make a difference. If Allah Ta'ala wants to change, you know, the state overnight, Allah Ta'ala can change it. Overnight, Allah Ta'ala can make a poor person rich, Allah Ta'ala can make a rich person poor. Look at what's happening in LA, in America. Wildfires. Multi-millionaires, their properties are just destroyed overnight. They didn't even imagine it. They couldn't even dream or imagine something like this happening. Just a display of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudra and power. I think they say, you know, they only managed to contain 11% of the fire or something like that, 10% of the fire. They're bringing in fire brigades from all over the world, yet they're not managing to be able to control this fire. Natural, they say natural disaster comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, there are some conspiracy theories behind the fire, who started it and what's their, ultimate gain. Allahu alam. But the reality is this. Rich people, they have multi-million, millionaires with extremely expensive properties. All of these are destroyed. So this is the reality. So wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. As for the one who is stingy, miserly, indifferent, he doesn't care for spending on other people, he just wants to see his bank balance grow, he's not, fussed about other people as long as he himself is rich. I want to stay rich, I don't care what happens to you. وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And the ulama mentioned, and he rejects the kalima, meaning he does not have strong iman and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning it's part and parcel of having strong iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person will be generous. So in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and I quoted it last time, that jood, generosity, is a tree of in Jannah, is a tree which has its roots in Jannah and it has its branches in the world. Anyone who holds on to any of the trees of branches of generosity, eventually will drag them into Jannah. And similarly, stinginess is a tree which has its roots in Jahannam and its branches in the world. Anyone who holds on to any of the branches of stinginess, miserliness, they hold on to one of these branches, eventually it will drag them into the fire of Jahannam. So it's generosity is connected to our deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connected to iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so generous. He would give. Even if he had nothing to give, he would borrow and then give that. And this was the lesson that the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in received from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Spend, spend, spend. أَنْفِقْ وَلَا تَخْشَ مِنْ ذِي الْعَرْشِ تَقْلِيلًا. When the Sahabi said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, spend and don't think that ذِي الْعَرْشِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you less. Allah is going to give you immensely. You continue. The more you continue to spend on others, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to bless us with. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Allah ta'ala says, the stingy person, we will make the difficult place easy for him. Meaning we will make the Jahannam easy for him to get to. Because of his stinginess, it will be very easy for him to reach the fire of Jahannam. وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. And when he falls in the fire of Jahannam, his wealth will not give him any benefit. And Allah Ta'ala states, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. And that person who has been saved and protected from the greed of his nafs, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are the successful people. From here we understand everybody has greed. That's why in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the elderly person becomes old, but he remains young in terms of two matters. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ. He becomes old, he grows with time, with age, with experience. But in two matters, he remains the same way he was when he was a young person. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, love of wealth. Doesn't matter how old you get, still that craving, that lalach, that desire, that greed to acquire, amass as much wealth, property, build, grow. And we see it, those of us who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with wealth, the desire to grow that wealth is part and parcel of that wealth. More. I've got a lot, but I still want more. I still want to get this. I still want to invest in this and that and this and that and this and that. Mind is attached to that. And وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ. And the second thing, the old person remains young in that regard, is طُولُ الْأَمَلِ. Long, desires, aspirations for the future. I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do the other, and I want to do the other. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, لَا يَزَالُ الْكَبِيرُ شَابٌ فِي إِثْنَيْنِ فِي حُبِّ الدُّنْيَا وَطُولِ الْأَمَلِ. The elderly person, he remains young in two matters, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, love of dunya. And طول الأمل, and desire of, aspirations and hopes. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So it's a spiritual illness, my dear respected brothers and elders, spiritual illness. Meaning it's inside of our nafs, inside of our heart, the desire, the craving to amass wealth, to gather wealth, and to hoard wealth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran many times mentions the warnings, the rebuke against those people who amass wealth and hoard wealth. In وَيْلٌ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. No, وَيْلٌ وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Again, this entire surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us and warning those people and saying destruction upon those people who hoard and gather wealth and they enjoy this. Wealth is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has blessed us with it. Once our needs are met, now this residual wealth, this extra wealth, the purpose of that is to go to the poor people, to help others. Allah is going to ask me about that. You had extra money, what did you do with it? What happens when you have extra money? I think my phone is time for an upgrade. I think my car is time for an upgrade. I think my house is time for an upgrade. Right? I think my wife is time for an upgrade. Second marriage, let's go. And this happens. Jay, I've got so much money, I don't know what to do with it. So let's get married again. I can now look after the entire family. The point is, this is Shaitan saying, look, the more wealth you have, the more enjoyment of worldly things. One is a person gets married with ikhlas and with the correct intention and following the sunnah and all of that is fine. It's jaiz, it's permissible, halal. One is, you got so much wealth, you think, what should I do? Jay, I know businessmen who have done this. This is why I'm saying, Jay, I can afford to buy another house straight away. So let's go. Algerian, Moroccan, Tunisian. So this is why it's very important. The wealth comes, we fulfill our needs, our needs are met. Now beyond that residual wealth, it is our responsibility to spend it on the poor, spend it on the needy. So many causes that we can spend on. Of course, we start with our own family members, with our own relatives who are in need. And then we go beyond that, our community. And, you know, globally, there are so many causes where we can spend our wealth. And similarly, when we are spending on our family members, think about, do we really need? Do I really need to do this? Do I really need to eat this? Do I need to spend? Or I can spend £20 on a meal. Or I can spend £120 on a meal. Now, is there a need for me to spend that? I can afford to do it is not a need. Okay? I can afford to do it doesn't mean I have to do it. Having the ability to do it, again, that's Allah Ta'ala's blessing. Allah has given you the wealth as a test. In the entire Jummah bayan, I was talking about Surah Al-Fajr, and Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَّ الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ. There are human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them with wealth. Allah gives them the blessings and Allah ta'ala watches and observes, what do you do with that? Are you going to use it in a good cause? Are you going to use it properly? Are you going to misuse and abuse it? If you're going to misuse and abuse it, we're going to be in trouble. There's going to be no barakah, there's going to be no blessings. It's going to be taken away and we won't see any benefit in all the, you know, expenditure and all the spending that we did. But a person who's careful, I've got the money, I've got the means, I've got the ability to spend, but do I really need to buy it? One is like a valid thing. My grandfather-in-law, maybe we can call him, Mufti Talibuddin Sahib Rahmatullahi from Oldham. So I remember my mother-in-law was telling me, he used to buy the most expensive things. But his perspective was that it's good quality, it will benefit you and it'll last for longer. So they couldn't get him to buy cheap things. He said, why are you buying the cheap thing? Go and buy this. Go and buy that. Go and buy this. Go and buy that. And his perspective would be that obviously it's expensive for a reason. It's going to give you more benefit. It's got more, you know, it will last for a longer period of time. So if that's the mentality, no problem. But one is, that's not even the case. I just want to buy a more lucrative thing, more expensive thing, more valuable thing because I'm rich, because I've got money. Now these things, my dear respected brothers and elders, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about it. Even the great Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's close sahabi, who was from the Asharat al-Mubashara, the 10 sahaba who were given guarantee of Jannah in this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Abdul Rahman, I see you crawling into Jannah. Why? Because of the amount of wealth Allah has blessed you with and the fact that you will have to give hisab and accountability for all the wealth that I have blessed you with. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, I see that the poor people will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich people. Imagine that. Because they don't have to give hisab for anything. The people of Gaza who are passing away without anything, who are living in tents, or who are putting, you know, constructing tents, which are not even tents, little canopies in which they're staying. Bare minimum of life, and then they die as shaheed. Imagine their state on the day of Qiyamah, and imagine our state. We're eating so much that we've become sick because of eating so much. We can't even move because of eating so much. We're having so many meals a day and so many different, you know, between the gap, desserts and snacks and treats and all of these things. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, but we need to be concerned. Allah has given me blessings. Am I actually utilizing them in a correct way, or am I misusing them? Am I abusing them? On the day of Qiyamah, I will have to give hisab. This chapter only has one hadith, so inshallah we'll just quickly do it. وَعَنْ جَابِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ اتَّقُوا الظُّلْمَ فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَاتَّقُوا الشُّحَّ فَإِنَّ الشُّحَّ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ حَمَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ سَفَكُوا دِمَاءَهُمْ وَاسْتَحَلُّوا مَحَارِمَهُمْ رواه مسلم. سيدنا جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه Sharing with Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, ittaqu dhulm, beware of oppression, dhulm, usurping the rights of others, not fulfilling the rights of others, taking away the haqq of other people, the rights of other people. Beware of this. Say bacho, zulm say bacho. Zulm said daro. فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Because oppression will be a cause of many darknesses on the day of Qiyamah. Zulm ki wajah se Qiyamat ke din bahut tarikhiyan insaan par lagu hoga. Ek dunya ke andar zulm karne ki wajah se. Qiyamat ke din ki tarikhiyan. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne yeh sirf nahi farmaya ki tarikhiyan. Matlab yeh ke baad digar, ek ke baad dusra. تاریخی در تاریخی اور مشکل در مشکل. کیوں؟ دنیا میں دوسروں پر ظلم کیا تھا, دوسروں کا حق جو ہے لوٹا تھا, دوسروں کا حق ادا نہیں کیا تھا. وَاتَّقُوا الشُّحَّ and beware of stinginess, beware of greed. فَإِنَّ الشُّحَّ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Because greed destroyed the people that came before you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning, one of the greatest causes, reasons why the ummahs that came before us, the nations that came before us were destroyed because of greed. What is greed? Love of dunya. Want more and more, amass more and more wealth. حَمَلَهُمْ. What did he make them do? حَمَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ سَفَكُوا دِمَاءَهُمْ وَاسْتَحَلُّوا مَحَارِمَهُمْ. It made them, it drove them to spilling the blood of each other, killing each other. What do you do it nowadays? For inheritance, brother is killing brother, fighting with brother, you know, not speaking to a brother for so many years because in inheritance, you took too much from dad's inheritance and I didn't get enough, you know, something like this. So it drove them to spilling the blood of each other. وَاسْتَحَلُّوا مَحَارِمَهُمْ. And those things which Allah Ta'ala had made haram and impermissible, they thought it was permissible to do. Look at what's happening now. Everybody wants to become rich, everybody wants to live in the West, everybody wants to have nice houses and nice everything. So everything is halal under the sun. Everything is halal. Meaning as long as your bank balance is increasing, it's permissible. Do it, yaar. Don't say nothing about it. Muslims, you know, one of our local news agents here, alcohol, wine, everything is being sold. What do they call it? What do they call them? No convenience store, the other one, off-license, right, off-license. So the brother, I see him all the time. Sometimes like my wife will order a parcel and get delayed, you have to go pick it up from there. So then I see this brother, his children go to the same school as my children. His wife's coming to school, full hijab, full, you know, mashallah, parda, everything. His children, his daughter's wearing hijab, everything. But he's working in a shop and he's selling alcohol. It's like we don't even regard haram to be haram anymore. We think that it's fine as long as you're benefiting, as long as you're making money, as long as you're enjoying life. You can go on your holidays, you can eat your burgers, you can, you know, have days out and with family, etc., and have fun. And it's fine, you know. Read your namaz and that's it, it's okay. But haram is haram on the day of Qiyamah. SubhanAllah, these riba, dealings of riba, interest. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? I saw a person, when he went for Mi'raj, said, I saw a person whose head was being smashed with a boulder and his head was being shattered. And then it would, you know, repair, and then it would be smashed again with a boulder, and it would repair, it would be smashed again with a boulder. And a few different punishments he saw like this. When he asked Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, Jibreel alayhi salam said, this is a person who used to consume interest in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing him in his grave like this all the way till the day of judgment. And then the punishment, وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ وَأَبْقَى. Punishment of the akhirah is far worse and it will last forever. So we shouldn't take these matters lightly, my dear respected brothers and elders. Selling alcohol, dealing in haram, be very cautious. You know, mashallah, it's so nice to see when a person asks you questions about things, you yourself think, I would never have stopped to consider whether that's halal or haram. Possibly. One of our friends from Holland, he's a businessman. Anything he wants to do, he'll always send me a message. And I don't have answers most of the time because it's all obscure questions. Like once he sent me a picture of a hand wearing a watch or something. He said, Muftisab, we want to sell these watches. Can we use this image of this woman's hand to as an ad? We're not showing any face or anything, like just the hand. Is it halal, permissible to you? You know, the way the mind is thinking is like every aspect of my business has to be halal.
It has to be Sharia compliant. So these are the people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put barakah in their business. Sometimes they might struggle. They might have a few hurdles because of certain things are haram. You can't borrow money because when you go to higher levels of business, there's so much borrowing from the banks and, you know, interest-based dealings and transactions. Maybe this person's going to, you know, have to overcome a few hurdles, but then the barakah is going to come and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to open the doors because he stayed on halal and it was hard and it was difficult. Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Anyone who strives in our path, makes effort in our path, trying to stay on halal and trying to do things in a correct way, Allah will open the doors eventually. So many blessings will come out of so many different avenues. So my dear respected brethren, this is, you know, a very important chapter. And this is it, this chapter of bukhl and shuh. To not be miserly, stingy. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with money. Spend it in correct causes. You know, I'm just finished with one story. In the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a poor Muslim man. And he lived on a property. And his adjacent farm, there was a person who had a tree, date tree. And one of the branches of the date tree would hang over the poor Muslim Sahabi's land. And he couldn't afford what that rich person could afford. Once, you know, one of the dates fell from the tree onto the land of the poor person. So his children came. And they took one of the children picked it up and he took it. That man came, whose date tree it was. He pulled it out of the child's mouth and he said, you know, how dare you eat this date? Meaning he couldn't even tolerate one date of his tree going into the mouth of a child. So anyway, this incident reached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to this man directly, and he said, "If you give me this tree of yours, I guarantee a tree in Jannah for you." The man said, "Ya Rasulullah, I would give it, but this is my best tree. I don't want to part with it. You know, I've got too much love for this tree." Anyway, this conversation happened. Another Sahabi overheard. He went running to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Ya Rasulullah, if I buy that date tree, will I also get a tree in Jannah?" Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, offer still stands." This second Sahabi came to the first person and he said, "Will you sell me that tree? What will it take for you to sell me that tree, your tree?" He said, "It will take 40 date trees for me to give you my one date tree." He said, 40 date trees, that will be everything that I have. He said, "Well, that's it. Take it or leave it." The Sahabi said, "I'll take it." He gave 40 date trees and he took that one date tree so he can receive a date tree in Jannah. So this is the importance of Akhirah. The dunya, it'll come and go. But the reality is the Akhirah. Whatever I get in the Akhirah, that will stay, that will be eternal, and that will be my, you know, life forever. So this is the way we need to try and prioritize things. It can be difficult at times. Wealth has a particular glitter and glamour and a grip. But we need to spend and slowly spend and make ourselves accustomed to spending. And the more we spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala, the more barakah and blessings we will see. Inshallah, we are ready to do this. Allah Ta'ala, give myself all of his tawfiq. Subhanallah, subhanakallah.